May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels waged war upon the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought, but they had not the strength to win. Next Thursday, September the 29th, the church celebrates the feast of Saint Michael and all angels. We've transferred that celebration to today. It's not the closest Sunday, but as I've just been talking, next week we're going to have our parish picnic and we're going to be doing Saint Francis. It's not mandatory that we transfer the celebration. I like to, because I don't want to miss Michaelmas. Michaelmas is an important anniversary for me. I was ordained deacon at a Michaelmas celebration in Canterbury Cathedral. And a year later, I was ordained priest at another Michaelmas celebration in South London. Michaelmas is a celebration of Saint Michael, one of the seven mighty archangels that were first named in the Jewish book of Enoch and are referenced in the letter of Jude and in John's Revelation. Along with Michael, we also celebrate and give thanks for all the angels, especially our personal guardian angel. Yes, I believe each of us have one. I believe also that my children have one. I wish he would interfere a little bit more in their lives. As today's collect said, angels and archangels are God's servers and worshippers in heaven. They are his messengers to us and our helpers and defenders. Michaelmas is a day to draw comfort from knowing that we are never alone, but are surrounded by a great heavenly host of saints and of angels. In the verses that we read today, John is describing what he saw in one of the visions that he experienced in a cave on the island of Patmos. This vision starts in heaven and then it moves to earth. John sees a dragon. It's red. It has seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads are symbols of the seven hills on which Rome was built. This dragon has enormous power. With its tail, it has just swept down a third of the stars in heaven. Standing in front of the dragon, John sees a woman who is close to giving birth to a male child. You might guess that this is Mary, but it isn't, though the child is Jesus. Instead, this woman is described in the apocryphal book of Esdras as wearing a crown with 12 stars. The 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. So this woman stands for the whole Hebrew tradition. Her child will be Israel's promised Messiah. The dragon is poised to lunge at the child the moment it is born and kill it, just as Rome had just killed the Messiah. But the dragon's plans are thwarted. Before the dragon can harm the child, it's snatched up to heaven. That's a clear reference to Jesus' resurrection. Rome cannot contain Jesus. The woman is taken away to a safe place in the desert that God has prepared for her. The woman is now the new Israel, the church. Frustrated, the dragon's full fury is released and war breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels of light battle the dragon and his angels of darkness. The dragon is thrown out of heaven, but he falls to earth and he brings his fury with him. He is determined to find the woman and destroy her and all of her offspring for once and for all. Who are the woman's offspring? John says they are those who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony to Jesus. The dragon's fury is Rome's fury directed at the Christians. John is speaking to the awful persecution that the Christians were suffering, and he is telling them that that suffering is part of a great spiritual battle that will run its course. Michael and his angels will prevail, but in the meantime, Christians must be brave. In the face of all Rome's fury, John is saying, maintain your testimony to Jesus. Though the dragon is fierce and certainly mighty, he does not have the strength to win. He's vulnerable. Michael has already thrown him out of heaven. And even now, he and his angels are pursuing him. Final battle will be fought in which the dragon will be destroyed. And in the meantime, you must stand firm. You must keep the faith. You must trust. God has decreed that these days are numbered. Michaelmas faith is not just faith for Christians facing the brutality of Rome. It is a faith for all Christians, even us. It is a faith to be claimed whenever the dragons appear to roam loose and unchecked. It's a faith that provides reassurance that the dragon's days are limited. They may appear unstoppable, but the battle will turn in favor of Michael and his angels, and they will have the victory. The dragon does not have the strength to win. Mahatma Gandhi was not a Christian, but he often spoke with a Christian heart. He once said this: "Remember that all through history, the way of truth and love has always won. There have been tyrants and murderers, and for a time they seem invincible, but in the end, they always fall." Think of it. Always. By definition, Michaelmas faith is never easy faith. No matter how stoic you are, no matter how much of a Pollyanna you can be, you cannot will yourself to Michaelmas faith. It's a reassurance and a peace that can only come as a gift. John didn't describe his vision of a war begun in heaven and now playing itself out on earth with the thought that that would make the terrors of the persecutions any less daunting. He told it to create a space for the Holy Spirit to go to work and kindle in some the hope that this would end. I've been reading about the new government offensive in Aleppo. The ceasefire, if ever there really was one, has broken down. Yesterday's headline in the New York Times was "Doomsday Today in Aleppo. Assad and Russian forces bombard city." You've read about it. You've seen the pictures. The city is an humanitarian crisis. Been described as Dresden-esque. To walk its streets, you have to pick your way through rubble. There are burning buildings everywhere. Each side has turned off the water supply to the other side, so well water is the only water you can get, and it is polluted. You can't buy milk in a store. It's only available on the black market, and then for 10 times what it used to cost. There are 40,000 Christians living in Aleppo. About 10% of the population there is Christian. If you're a Christian living in Aleppo, how do you keep a Michaelmas faith? Must be well nigh impossible. There's a heart-rending picture from Aleppo on one American Christian charity's website. It's of a little girl, perhaps 4 or 5 years old, crouched on her haunches in the middle of a rubble-strewn street, and she is sobbing her heart out. Beside her are 2 clear plastic containers of water. You know, she's been sent out of her home to bring some water home. But these containers of water are too heavy for her to carry. And that is breaking her heart. You want to sweep her up and hug her, hold her. She's a brave little thing. She was just trying to do her part to help her family. But it's just more than she can do. When I think of today's Aleppo, I'm reminded of William Yeats' words that he wrote in 1919, right after the First World War. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed. And everywhere, the ceremony of innocence is drowned. That little girl in the street, she should be a ceremony of innocence. But her innocence is drowned. The dragon is loose in Aleppo, seeking whom he may destroy. I'm sure our Christian brothers and sisters there are feeling that things have fallen apart and that the center cannot hold. We must pray for them, that with Michaelmas faith they may continue to keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony to Jesus. And let's each of us build the story of Michaelmas into the bank of stories that are there for us to reach into. When life tests us, when we feel like that little girl on the street in Aleppo and we want to sob and say, "This is just too heavy for me." That's the time to tell ourselves that the dragon and the dark angels have not the strength to win. The victory goes to Michael and his angels. Always. Amen.